Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Radio listeners, welcome back to the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We are glad to have you here with us. Hope this broadcast is going to be a real blessing to you. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Steven Cervantes. How are you, Steven?
Doing well. Thanks, Jonathan.
Good. We are coming to you from the highly secure padded radio room because we wouldn't want any of this information to be unsecure. We are definitely wanting to give you some very high, top-secret information. This week is kind of the flip side of what we did last week. We got some insights from Steven about the journey and different things that he has learned along the way about this purity journey. And we were talking a little bit last week about how this is just such an unpopular ministry. I mean, to do it year after year after year, it's really a test of endurance because it seems like a lot of folks in the Christian circles are not interested in a lot of long-term talk about purity and sexual addiction and pornography and these things. Now, it's becoming apparent more and more that churches had better get on board because the culture is rapidly being immersed in pornography and sexual sin. So we're thankful to one degree that this type of an epidemic is causing churches to wake up. But it's still when I tell folks what I do for a living, it's amazing how quickly the conversation changes. It's as if can we talk about something else? How do you like this weather today? Or what kind of car do you drive? Or, it's amazing the excuses that I'll find that they will tell me to just try to find anything else to talk about, which, that's fine. I understand it's an uncomfortable topic at times, but do you find that, Stephen, when you...
I just don't say anything. I do, simple, cheap talk that's,
All right, well...
Is this bombing?
There we go. Sometimes...
Irrelevant is the word.
You got to take
irrelevant
risks.
Irrelevant dialogue.
You got to take
risks.
No,
but let me play off what you just said, because I think part of the difficulty is that nobody wants to know there's a sexual struggle this close to them. Their dad, their mother, their brother, their sister. Nobody wants to know a sexual struggler is real close. But mm-hmm. The reality is there's sexual strugglers all around. But so I think that's part of why you get the response you get. And then the second part is if you think about, our secret sexual struggles, they in one way are a man's solution to dealing with a difficult life, and so he would never want to mention those because he's still using those things, and mm-hmm. they really are working solutions for stress. So he doesn't want to have to bring that stuff out and parade around, let people see how he's managing the stress. Just let's not talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah, because the alternative of doing something different is so foreign and scary because he's always used that particular coping mechanism.
Right.
So to think of doing anything else feels as if he's losing out on something rather than gaining a pure life. Well, I've got some things I want to share just about maybe some insights that I've learned along the road to recovery and to purity. And it's interesting because as you were sharing last week about the things that you have learned along the way, I was sitting here thinking, wow, it's interesting how there's a lot of similarities between the things that we have learned along the way. So I want to share with you five things that I've just learned along the way as I've personally gone through this journey of becoming more of a man of purity. And number one is the journey is long. This is not something...
Like a lifetime long?
Like Like a lifetime.
Oh,
long.
Okay. That's pretty long.
It's long. It's something that does not occur in a weekend. Even in my most sincere moment of brokenness, it was still a long journey. I mean, there have been plenty of moments over the last 7.5 years of my recovery where I have felt powerful moments of advancement, you know, really strong cleansing moments. But even as I've went through those seasons and through those times, when the shine would wear off, so to speak, here I am sitting with myself again. And it's a long journey, realizing that I'm just as prone to any temptation that I was faced with before. And so it's, I guess, this idea of the journey being long, it's caused me to realize that patience and endurance are real key characteristics that I've got to be developing in my daily life. Otherwise, it becomes a very frustrating journey, because I'm thinking that at some specific point in time, there should be no more struggle. There should be no more pain, no more tension, no more temptation. And if I don't have this perspective of the journey being long, oh man, I'm going to be very disappointed along the way, because I wake up and I realize, like you were saying last week, life is so daily. So I wake up and I realize, you know what? I faced this temptation just a couple days ago. Why is it coming back again? Why am I having to deal with this again? And yes, if I don't understand that the journey's long, that's going to really frustrate me, because I'm going to become very impatient with my recovery.
And we can't hold perfection either. That's part of the problem, right? If we could just get to perfection and stay there. But we live in a sick culture. We have flesh. There are forces aligned against us, and we just have a battle. And it's difficult, because some days we just have sweet celebration and victory. In some days, you just got to crawl face down in the dirt in the right direction, going, I'm still on the journey, I'm still on the journey, I'm still on the journey.
Well, and I think this idea of the journey being long, too, it's really important to see it from God's perspective, because something that really changed my whole perspective on the endurance aspect of the journey was when I realized, you know what? God doesn't measure me using numbers. You know, when I get to the end of my time here and I stand in his presence, he's not going to say, well done, you who converted 10,000, or well done, you who built a ministry of 10,000 radio listeners, or you know, whatever the case may be. He's going to say, hopefully, well done, good and faithful servant. He measures it based on faithfulness. So by getting this idea that the journey's long, I'm going to develop endurance or faithfulness to the cause which Christ has called me to, and that is to be a man of purity. So I've got to be willing to say, okay, God's measuring me based on my faithfulness to him and what he's called me to do, not on whether or not I get every single behavior correct, or whether or not I have a broken moment, because he's saying, okay, in those broken moments, and I'm going to get to this on the second insight, are you willing to get up and remain faithful to the overall call and the journey? And that's important, I think.
That's good. I like that. Stay faithful. Recover faithfulness. Grab faithfulness.
Exactly.
That's good.
Well, number two, the second insight that I've learned is that the journey will have obstacles. You know, I think it's very important to realize that brokenness is the standard for the journey of recovery, meaning that there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be obstacles from within yourself. There's going to be obstacles from without. I can't remember who told me this the first time I ever heard it, but it really resonated with me. And that was, somebody told me, no one does recovery perfectly. No one. You didn't do your life to this point perfectly. You're not going to do your life the rest of the way perfectly. Yeah. And so it's this idea of saying, okay, that means there's going to be obstacles. That means there may be days that I wake up and, you know what, I'm just flat out not wanting to do what's right. I mean, let's be honest.
Like, some days we feel like rebelling. That's
I just feel like I just want to be all about me today. I don't want to care about God. I don't want to care about other people. And I just want to be selfish. And then there may be other times where you're feeling like you're doing really well. You're really feeling close to God. You're close in your marriage. You're close in your relationships. Mm. And guess what? You go through a day, and it seems like at every turn you're being blindsided with temptation, blindsided with old memories, just all kinds of temptation are attacking you. That's just the course of the journey. There are obstacles that come along the way. And there may even be obstacles that God himself puts in your way because he's wanting to steer you in a different direction. You know, I think about Job. Here's a guy who, as far as we know from the scriptures, had no idea of this conversation that was going on in the heavenlies between God and Satan. And in fact, it wasn't Satan who brought up the name of Job. God brought his name up. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So God allowed these tremendous obstacles to come into Job's life, a righteous man who was walking rightly, and he said, "I'm going to test his faith. I'm going to show the enemy here that I have a faithful servant here." So sometimes God himself even puts things in our way so that we can be proven or tested and proven to be faithful. And so sometimes I think about that when I'm facing certain challenges. I'll think of Job and I'll think, did God have a conversation? Is the enemy asking to sift me? Wow. And I'll think, this is a test for faithfulness. And I've got to realize that obstacles are part of the journey. It's not just I thought at a certain point in time, well, if I just decide now that I want to be a man of purity, you know, the heavens will part and everything will become smooth.
The roadmap of life will be laid out before you.
Exactly.
And you just go down the trail.
Clear as crystal. And that's just not
that's
the case. I mean, tell me, Steve, that you have experienced that in your...
I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, I was over here when you said some days I just want to rebel and I was going to go, yeah, and throw fits and not care. Yeah, me too. I thought I better not chime in at that
exactly,
part.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I think we're human beings, right? We're the creation, right? We have the free wills, and we can go take care of ourselves anytime we don't feel like we're being taken care of.
And I think we need to be willing to embrace our brokenness the same way God embraces it. He embraces us, accepts us, and he embraces our brokenness and our weakness so that he can change us.
Define brokenness. Well, how are you using that? We need to recognize our own broken. What?
I think our brokenness means that we have, until we are home to be with the Lord, we are incomplete in the sense of this flesh that we have.
Hmm.
We're broken. We are not going to respond perfectly to the Spirit's promptings. We're not going to respond perfectly to every challenge and temptation that comes our way. It does not excuse those moments in which we fall, but thank God that he covered those moments through the blood of Christ so that we are forgiven for those instances where we get up and say, I'm going to rebel. I just want to do my own thing.
Hmm.
And I think that's the sense of God embracing our brokenness and saying, listen, when I accepted you, when I forgave you, when I bought you, I bought all of you, broken pieces and all, which means that when I look at myself, a lot of times what's hindering my healing is me embracing my brokenness. Because until I embrace it and say, okay, I've got to acknowledge this thing, I've got to acknowledge these weak areas.
Broken meaning my imperfections.
Exactly. And until I embrace those imperfections the same way God has, I can't really move forward and overcome these obstacles that are along the way.
Because when you talk about it, just, you know, celebrate your brokenness, that's very different than what we're taught,
mm-hmm.
you know, to think, you know, we're almost taught to hide our brokenness and to not own our brokenness. But
Paul said, I boast in my weaknesses
mm.
because it's in my weakness that the power of God is made perfect in my life. And so that's the idea that we need to have is saying, you know, I recognize, I acknowledge, I'll even state what my weaknesses are so that the grace of God can be poured out upon my life and that I can actually overcome these obstacles that are just a natural part of the journey.
This is good. Have you been like going to Sunday school and Bible classes? You're sounding really, you know, like you got it together now.
Well, I think this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's just put
there
it that
you
way.
Go.
The third thing that I've learned along the way is that the journey cannot be traveled alone. There's absolutely no way we make it long term if we try to do it ourselves. We just cannot do it alone. you know, success on this journey of purity, it requires teamwork. It's not an option. You know, a lot of guys, when I'll go do seminars or when I go do workshops for men, it's interesting. I can see it on the guys' faces, and you've probably seen this too, Stephen, is where guys, you'll be telling them about accountability. You'll be telling them about relationship. You'll be telling them about engaging with other men. And it's as if they're looking at that particular piece of the puzzle as if it's part of a buffet table. And that's the one item that they don't actually want to take.
Do they glaze over? How do you know
they tense up.
Happening?
Oh. They tense up. You mean you want me to have an ongoing conversation with other... I thought I came to this workshop so that I get all tuned up and fixed up and I never have to talk about this again in my life. And when I outline to them saying, listen, this is the way God's made it. God has made us to function best in community. We can't function out there on our own. We get picked off way too easily.
Yes.
And so the journey cannot be traveled alone.
Mm.
The fourth thing that I found is that the journey actually brings joy. It's so interesting to me. You know, there's lots of blood, sweat, and tears on this journey because it is hard. I mean, it's so unnatural to us because our natural tendency is do what feels good. Do what feels good in the moment, which is why the journey is a supernatural thing. But as we go through the journey, we make the sacrifices. We shut off the TV. We get rid of the internet. We do these sacrificial things that are difficult because it's not feeding our immediate desire for pleasure. But when we do that, we're learning how to surrender. And it's out of that surrender that it really brings deep satisfaction. You know, the most satisfying moments in my life have been when there are zero distractions around me. When I've eliminated things that tend to pull me away from that real intimate surrender to God. And so this journey, as unnatural and painful and difficult as it is, ultimately brings real deep satisfaction because I'm not, sounds weird, but I'm not in control anymore, you know?
But are you saying it brings peace and contentment and, and so finish that, you can get to joy, peace, contentment, greater satisfaction in your life.
It says when you begin to implement the principles of purity in your life, when you begin to say no to your short-term immediate desires and yes to the long-term benefits of those short-term sacrifices. And that's when I really think the joy starts to come in. Now, it's very uncomfortable at first. Usually, joy is not experienced in the first couple of months. Usually, a deeper level of pain
and
is experienced.
Yes.
Yeah, there's chaos. There's all kinds of things going on. Relationships seem to get more tense, different things like that.
Right.
But as you go through and you continue to say, I'm going to commit to short-term sacrifices for the long-term benefit of my marriage, my intimacy with God, my connection with my children, all these kind of things, over time, that deep sense of joy is actually all those heart needs that you've been trying to meet through the addiction are now being met where God wants them to be met, and that's in the context of relationships. And so that's where I think that sense of joy really comes from. And that's the fifth thing. The fifth thing is that the journey deepens relationships. You know, when we learn to be honest and emotional and just downright real, it allows us to connect at the deepest levels in our relationships. Otherwise, as long as there's hidden parts in our lives, you're never really able to fully engage and fully bond with another person. And this is where a lot of marriages really get into trouble is because their marriage has only been able to go to a certain level of intimacy because this husband has large parts of himself hidden because of his behaviors and his fantasies and all these kind of things. And so they're blocked from really being able to go any further in their intimacy. And so those who really say, okay, I'm going to take this journey. I'm going to go on this journey. I'm really going to engage and begin cleaning out these closets. I'm going to begin being honest and transparent.
And get healthy. I mean, if you think about what we're talking about, putting things in order, being more insightful, using better language, being more honest with yourself, and not doing the little kid solution you developed early in life, It's all that you're talking about, right?
Right, right. And that's just it. I think, and the thing is, our intimacy and our deepening relationship with others is not the only thing that happens. We actually deepen our relationship with God.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Even though God knows everything about us, he sees all the hidden parts in us. Hmm. There's a different level of intimacy we can enjoy when we pull the curtain back that's hiding things in our heart. You know, when we reach in there and say, okay, God, I'm going to expose this to you. Even though I've known in my head that you see it all, I've really still believed in my heart that I can hide it from you. And when we do that, it really deepens that level of intimacy with him.
Well, and I mean, part of what you're talking about is giving up our old ways of coping, mm-hmm. right? That really won't take us where we really want to go. That's too many reallys in there. But it's not going to take us where we really want to go. We really want to be whole, healthy, fully engaging, you know, life, doing what we were designed to do. Mm-hmm. Well, acting out's not going to get you there.
And see, that's the deception of pornography and sexual lust, is that it's going to get you there. It deceives us into thinking that it's going to bring that satisfaction, that joy, that deepening relationship. You know, it's the illusion of all the things that you really want. And so when you start putting away the illusion and engaging in the real, even though it's really uncomfortable, I mean, it's very unnatural. It feels very unnatural to the guy who's always coped in the fantasy realm. To actually come into reality, it's very uncomfortable at first.
And difficult and hard to understand yeah. and hard to stay.
But, again, for those who will really engage and stay in that environment, over time, it's as if you start, kind of your emotional self starts waking up. And it's as if it's regenerating, you know, or maybe generating for the first time. You're getting some feelings in there. You're getting to be able to connect on a level that you didn't think you could connect on with people. And so...
And your spirit is being set free to do what it was designed to do.
Exactly.
That's good. So, shall I review since you reviewed last time? Number one, remember, the journey is long, but God is faithful. Number two, there will be obstacles, but grace abounds. Mm-hmm. Get up. Get back on the trail. Keep going. You really can't go on this journey alone. It's too long, and you'll be beat down, picked off, worn out, want to give up. But if you go as a group, somebody else can say, keep going. So, you know, iron sharpens iron, and your brother can carry you part of the way. Number four, the journey really brings joy and deep contentment, satisfaction. And it will also serve, this journey will serve to deepen the relationships to others around you. So,
excellent.
Good job, Jonathan. Thank you.
Well, and I hope this will really bless you, listeners, and we look forward to hearing from you. Please let us know how this broadcast has impacted you, as we want to be praying for you. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Attention parents, this Purity Pointer is for you. This is the third in a three-part series of Purity Pointers on how to talk to your kids about sex. So in this final Purity Pointer on this topic, I want to help you develop solid strategies for dealing with the sexual struggles that your kids are going to face. And yes, they're going to face some struggles with their sexuality. But what you want to do is when they face these struggles, I want to give you five things that are going to help you give them a solid strategy. Number one, when you find out that your child is struggling, move toward them emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Let them know that no matter what happens in their life, Mom or Dad is going to be there to walk through their struggles with them. Number two, listen attentively and completely before attempting to offer solutions. So often as parents, we get ahead of ourselves by trying to fix everything before we have really listened to the heart of our child and really understood where they're struggling. So listen before attempting to offer solutions. Number three, have several options available to offer your child and allow him or her to choose which option they're most comfortable with. Let your child be a partner with you in taking responsibility for their struggles and moving toward a life of purity. Number four, lovingly ensure your child is sticking to the plan they've chosen and regularly praise their forward progress and allow for sharing and confession when slip-ups occur. It's really important that you hold your children accountable, but also allow for sharing and confession when they just don't get it right. They're learning, they're growing, they're trying to become adults. And so we've got to be able to give them opportunity to share and confess when those slip-ups occur. And finally, number five, temper everything with grace, knowing that it's ultimately the grace of God that motivates us to walk in the freedom that He provides. So temper everything with grace. Basically, it boils down to this, parents. When your kids are struggling, treat them as God treats you. And the way He treats us is always out of His grace, giving us what we don't deserve. So remember that when your children come to you with their struggles sexually, remember to temper everything with grace. So as a point of review, remember these three key areas when dealing with your kids about sex: to set them up for healthy, biblical understanding of sex, to maintain open communication, and finally to develop strong strategies for managing sexual struggles. You do these things, and your kids will not have to have fear when it comes to facing their sexuality and the temptations around them.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to previous Purity Pointers at www.puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.